Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
Well, we're making progress.
Verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. What is wise? What is wisdom from God's perspective? We think it's something really, oh, I see the secrets of wisdom are doubled and all this stuff. I think that's good, Helen. We should keep that chair open so I can see Gary.
You don't need to see all of them.
What is why? What is wisdom? No, I mean, really, if you look at the entire corpus, I said corpus. If you look at the entire corpus of wisdom in the Bible, what does it teach us? Well, that's part of it.
Seeing as God sees.
But yeah,
like
but
the idea of being a child right here in that verse,
right?
Interesting.
It's really the real definition of wisdom, in my opinion, is that you see the futility of all human effort.
See, no one wanted to say that.
What?
I see, no one wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Resistance is futile.
You didn't want to say that.
No one wanted to say that.
Except you. You wanted to, I could tell. Better is a poor. Remember the scriptures, the first thing that Christ said when he proclaimed his ministry was, it's to the poor, to the poor. Proclaim, what does it say in Luke 4? Don't go there, I'll just go there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not to preach the gospel to the poor to make them rich. It's to preach the gospel to the poor. Because they are the poor, the only ones that can hear it. Now, remember, then the king who will no longer be admonished, who will no more be admonished. The purpose of suffering is not for you to become a victim. The purpose of suffering is for you to be exercised or humbled, emptied. But everybody, when something doesn't go the way you want it to, the instant reaction is, I'm a victim. Somebody did something to me. Somebody didn't treat me like I should. Something didn't go the way I wanted it to. So you can't be admonished if you don't know wisdom. If you don't know wisdom, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to cause the whole entire human race to fail. Now this is a little, you'll never hear that on TNT or TBN or whatever it is. TCT or...
Or on TNT.
Or TNT. Remember what we said, 19 out of 20 become believers before 25. After 25, only 1 in 10,000. After 35, only 1 in 50,000. After 45, only 1 in 200,000. After 55, only 1 in 300,000. After 65, only 1 in 500,000. And after 75, only 1 in 700,000. The wise child is the one who can receive admonishment, who sees that things aren't going the way he thinks they should, but his response is emptying. Remember, I've said so often that before the fall, Adam and Eve had no capacity to think that the situation they were in at any given moment should be different than it is. And that returning to that innocence is why Jesus said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of heaven. I hope you understand. And then he says in verse 14, for out of prison he cometh to reign. The word prison is there. It's the place of being bound or manacled. And so Christ in you is in prison. You've kept him in prison your entire life, and some of you still keep him there most of the time. You let him out for exercise every once in a while, but fundamentally you keep him in prison. And he's imprisoned by your thoughts and your ideas, and you're giving breath to that, and your opinions and your judgments. And you keep him in prison. So out of prison he cometh to reign. Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. Although in his kingdom he was poor. Now, this is what the New Testament is all about. I come to preach the gospel to the poor. So he's really only preaching the gospel to himself. That's why I've said so often, faith is Christ in you, believing in himself. That's everything is Christ. So anytime you have a conception of something outside of him or different than him, then you know that you've heard the wrong voice. What?
That puts it in consciousness, which kind of nullifies it right there. Like you talked about, it's a state of
abandonment.
Either consciousness of error or just being.
All right.
I'm not sure I understand the second part of that. He that is born in his kingdom becometh poor.
Well, it's a better translation, you might know. It's although in his kingdom he was born poor. So it's all about him. If you think about it, you, then you're going to screw it up. I considered all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. The second child is Christ in you, after the born-again experience is realized. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. There is no end of all the people who which came before him, and there is no end of all the people that come after him. They also that come after him shall not rejoice in him. Everybody understand perfectly? All right, now we get to the interesting stuff. Chapter 5. We made it to chapter 5. Anybody get a hallelujah? Do I get an amen?
Yeah.
Let's give him a clap off. Never mind, never mind. We're just raising you up, Jesus. We're just giving you all the glory. Isn't that big of you?
We couldn't have made it to chapter 5 without you.
Oh, the anointing here is so strong.
You just went over the line, Marty. I can feel it. I can feel some wise ass statement coming from Kevin.
He's always got three or four of these.
I know. He just keeps them to himself, though.
You know how you can tell his camera crew coming? Ronnie polished his head.
All I did was just wash my face this morning and brush my teeth.
Can we get beyond your ablutions, or what's the name? What's that word?
Ablution.
Your morning.
Yeah,
is it ablutions?
Yeah.
Huh? No, it's not ablation. It's ablutions.
Ablutions.
Ablutions. I didn't even know I knew that. Ablution.
That's
You want to challenge it? We're going to play killer Scrabble. That means if I'm right, you lose your... All right, we're going to spend some time in this next one for a change. That little disgusting chuckle of Joysanna probably permeates the Bible study. The church lady, huh?
3-year cycle of Ecclesiastes.
What kind of sets it up for this next
week? Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear and to give the sacrifice of fools. How appropriate was that? You think I may have set you up? That was fun. I enjoyed that. For they consider not that they do evil. Now, there's a ton of stuff written about keeping thy foot. We've talked about these forever, but let's just go through. Remember, this isn't talking about when you go to the little building on the corner. There's only been one house of God, and that was the temple, because it was the perfect type of Jesus Christ. As you heard me say so often, there was no building called a church or a house of God except the temple for 300 or 400 years. Because the people knew that they were the house of God. They were the temple of the living God. And the same things that applied to the temple in Jerusalem apply to you. Now listen carefully to what he says. What the Talmud says. No one may enter the temple mount with money tied in his garment, or with dust on his feet, or with his purse girded to the outside. You may not enter clothed with sackcloth. You cannot pray in an elevated place. You cannot, because out of the depths have I cried. You should not pray if you need to relieve yourself. Prepare to meet thy God. In other words, you should not enter the temple if you need to relieve yourself. Should not pray if... Wait a minute. It is better to hear the Shema than to give 1,000 sacrifices. No one may pass through the temple or go to the temple with the intention of going anywhere else. No one may go into the temple with the intention of doing anything else. Is the pattern starting to develop? You cannot enter the temple if you have aught against someone. You cannot, of course, enter the temple if you are ritually unclean. You cannot enter the temple without making an offering. You cannot enter the temple without reciting and living Shema. Now, in other words, from you've got to understand that if you are the temple of the living God, then the question has to be, if you hear what I just said to you, well, what can I do? What should I do? Believe on Him who He has sent. That's it.
The part where you said about the offering, that's not like giving money or something.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah. Whatever you owe.
Well, it's like there aren't any observers. You can't just come in and like, you're just there to observe. You're there to worship. You're there to give up yourself and pour yourself out.
Now, the only offering that is acceptable is the one who fulfilled the offerings. So, You've got to let him out. You've got to let him be the one that's revealed. That's why we have this treasure in broken earthen vessels. It's everything. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is your life, and it never leaves that position. And then you'll say, what shall I do then? What shall I do? It's the constant question. Believe on him who is sent. Well, what do I do about this? I have no idea. What do I do about that? I have no idea. What would you do if you're in this position? I have no idea, because I'm not there yet. You never take God and put him in another place. He's always there now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now this is almost, this just makes you goofy if you live this. Does everybody hear the implications of this?
It's better to hear the Shema than to give 1,000 offerings. 1,000 isn't 1,000. 1,000 is countless offerings.
1,000.
There's nothing of any point. There's no point to anything if you don't hear the Shema.
No. Again, the road is getting narrower and narrower and narrower until it's only as wide as a... But anyway, all this is considered in Paul's statement in the Afghanim. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So if you're... it's huge. That's what I talked about last night. Any other position other than emptiness... You might as well just, go out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die.
Yeah, there's no second priority. God is first in my life. No, what's second, third, and fourth?
No.
Can't exist.
No. It's God is only my life. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Whatsoever things are gained to me are lost to Christ, including knowledge of God, including knowledge of the Scripture. Whatsoever things are gained to me are lost to Christ. It's everything. Well, do you live that only? No. The only thing I do is repent faster. What about this? I don't know about that. What would you do if you were in this position? I have no idea. Because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That isn't any intellectual position. It doesn't take any brains to know that. All it takes is for you to be honest. Stop the hypocrisy. Stop the leaven of the Pharisees. Stop the leaven of the Sadducees. Stop the leaven of the... Herod. Would you like to share it with the rest of us?
Paul's over here clinking his bowl and he's driving nuts. He promised he wouldn't.
He probably promised he'd make more noise. If I were him, that's what I would do.
Tom's an expert in psychological warfare. Might as well just give up.
Okay, let me read these again. You cannot enter the temple with money tied inside your garment. You cannot enter the temple with dust on your feet or your purse girded on the outside. May not enter clothed with sackcloth. In other words, if you're mourning for something. May not pray or preach in an elevated place where you're taking a stand. If you are right about something, then you are elevated. You can't even pray if in the you can't when you get you can't go into the temple with in order to relieve yourself. Hmm? You can't go into the temple with the intention of doing anything else in the future.
Yeah, it's like you can't stop by the temple on your way to work.
No.
Or cut through the temple. That's what I was
thinking. Then take a shortcut.
I'm going to cut through here, and then I'll drop that gate, and then I'll be closer to whatever my agenda is.
You cannot enter the temple if you had a vote against anyone. What?
Your name, Tom.
Anyway.
What does that have to do with keeping your foot? I don't understand what that means to me.
Well, it's just an idiom.
Okay.
It means...
Ladder of life.
Hmm?
That's your matter of life, how you walk.
You know, it
don't be hasty. It's like don't just jump in there without assessing all these things.
That's why it says you can't don't do this unless you've counted the cost. I think that's enough for today. I gotta do something. I gotta go take my pills. Anybody have any response to anything I said or anything come up? What?
I'm still enjoying Thompson, expert in psychological warfare.
I can take one.
This is like the ultimate conundrum. It's the most attractive thing there is, and at the same time, it all has to be given away. You can't
end it with any part of you.
Yeah, you can't keep anything. And yet, and let religious flesh wants to grab a hold of something, so it can't think it's good.
So they can oppress the other religious flesh.
Yes.
It's finished. You cannot be tested by anything. It's settled forever that all flesh is lost and hopeless. You testified to that. You agreed to that when you were baptized. Can you see that every single time that you have left that position, you've crucified the Son of God afresh? You've walked on the blood and considered it an unholy thing. Can you see maybe why the understanding of Ecclesiastes was necessary in order to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles? Because it covers everything. To know that your warfare is over, you've been perfected by one offering, that now you are complete in Him, that you need nothing. How can you neglect so great a salvation? How can you walk away from it for an idea or an emotion or a judgment? All righty. Take it, big guy.